Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I got to admit, Father, I got the shakes. And I don't know whether that's just me or whether it's you or what, or whether it's the absolute privilege of opening your word in front of a whole bunch of my brothers and sisters who have come expectantly not to waste their time. And I pray, Lord God, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would be in and through this time, and you would speak to us loudly and clearly, and we would have something we could take away from today that would be real, authentic, dynamic, and powerful into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. We're going to continue on as Brendan started us off last week, and such a good job, Brendan. I love it when you do that sort of stuff, and I'm glad you've got those gifts. If that's the way it is, mate, I think from your picture, you're going to have to start wearing purple shirts. Today's Bible reading is 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, nice easy. And then reading from verse 3 through to 12. But just before we do that, I want to say good day to people online. We've got people all over the place. We've got Michelle up at Twin Waters. We've got Jamie and James at Coolum. We've got Dion. Now, Dion, I don't know if you're in Darwin or Broome. I think your 2 weeks might be up in Darwin, but wherever you are, mate, good to see you online. John Vuko, I believe you're in Gladstone. There's a couple of people in Brisbane. So, wow. We're all over the place. So, Kiwanis Life gathered and scattered. Just to let you know, we're up to 150 in the greenhouse now. Thank you, Anastasia. So, thank you. We can be 150 people in the building. So, please feel free to come back and join us. And you'll be glad to know not one... Hold on, let me just check. No one's wearing a mask. So, feel free to come back and join us. I am praising God about that bit. All right. Praise be to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In this great mercy... He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you will greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Though you have seen him, have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, now you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest of care, trying to find out that the time, the circumstances, which was the Spirit of Christ in them, was pointing them when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but in fact serving us. When you spoke of the things that you have now been told, you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And even angels long into these things. And it's interesting that that's from 1 Peter. And it's interesting that Peter later on writes, and Paul, who writes in such big words, who can understand? Ah, there's a big lot of big words in there for Peter too. Not bad for a simple fisherman who ran away and who knew trials and tribulations. Let's unpack what he's trying to say to us today. First bit I want to talk about is that passage at the beginning. It ties in from where Brendan was with us, where it talked about elect, exiles, scattered, aliens was another word. We don't often think of ourselves as exiles, scattered, or aliens. Some of you who may have been in other countries in the world may have had on your passport stamped alien. Anyone seen that thing happening? Alien. You don't belong. Anyone ever been in a place where you feel like you don't belong? And I'm not talking about wearing a Broncos jersey to a Canterbury Bulldogs game. I'm talking about being somewhere where you do not belong, where it is 100% obvious. I'm not just talking about sitting in a place where there's a whole bunch of people and you're just not feeling it. I'm talking about people pointing at you and yelling, Azungu, Azungu, Azungu. Because you're a white fella in a black fella land and you do stick out and you do not belong. You're not the same colour, you're not the same culture, you don't know the same language, You don't know the right ways or anything, and you make mistakes because you're in a place that is foreign. You're in a place that is not where you belong. This statement, I believe, for us in God, is that we belong to the Father. We belong to the Father. That we are part of His family. You belong to God's family. You're not in exile. You're not an alien to God. You're not an outsider. And you're not unessential. You belong to God, the Father of all who He has chosen. You are chosen by God and you belong. You see, this passage delves into these things: God's abundant mercy, His hope and assurance. So we can join in, as we say here at the very beginning, we can praise God for this grace, this salvation. We can also praise God for the new life where we have been set apart. We've been taken away from the old and into the new. We belong to a new family, the family where God is the Father, Jesus is our big brother, and the Holy Spirit is working like crazy to make sure that APEST fits together, to make sure we fit together. See, we have an eternal salvation, an inheritance that is for you and for me. We are family. The word praise here, and forgive me for those who speak fluent is Jewish, is berkah. And it comes from the God who blesses. How many of you believe we have a God who wants to bless you? We have a God who wants to work in and through your life in amazing ways. He wants to be able to help you in and through all your times of trial. Whenever you put up your hand in a time like we had before, He rushes in like a flood. He doesn't sit back and go, "Yeah, no, I'm a bit busy today, sorry. I'll cut back to you tomorrow." As soon as you cry out, He wants to rush in. He wants to be there, and He wants to be the blessing in and through your life. And that's what this is. Praise be to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in His great mercy — it's not little mercy, it is great mercy. It is great that He wants to work in and through our lives. And He talks about this new birth. We have hope. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have that living hope. Do you know that hope today? Is it bubbling up? Yes, I'm excited. I'm born again in Jesus Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it ties in with John 10:10, and that life would be an abundant life, an exciting life, an amazing life. And this comes about because Jesus came. He lived, He died, and He rose again, so that we might have this precious, great mercy. Mercy that leads to our salvation and to an inheritance that does not spoil or perish or fade. It does not disappear. It is not like an E.H. Holden that will rust away even after 50 years. It is an imperishable inheritance, and it is guarded and kept safe for you for eternity. Does that rock your world? Does it go, "Whoa, walking with Jesus is pretty exciting. This is pretty amazing. Yes, thank you." This is because of God's great mercy, the resurrection, the plan that was from the beginning of time. This plan was not plan B. This is the plan that God had put together so it would flow on right through. In all this, we greatly rejoice, for our salvation brings hope and life. One of the books I'm reading at the moment is The Way of the Pilgrim. And it came to me through a devotional that I was reading. And it's about a 14th century Russian monk who was on a journey, a lifelong journey. And I must admit, I was a little bit jealous of his lifelong journey, because his life's possessions were a knapsack that he had on his back, bread and salt. His diet was bread and salt. And he walked from place to place. And his whole mission in life was 1 Thessalonians, where it says, "Pray without ceasing." And his whole desire was trying to figure out, how do I pray without ceasing? How do I do that? How do I step into that space? And he goes on this amazing journey, and he meets all these gurus and they give him this wisdom. One of his first gurus gives him this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's a prayer from the book of Luke that Jesus uses of the tax collector. There's the Pharisee over here who stands praising God that he's not like that man. And that man over here says, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Well, he says, dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The first part of that prayer is to recognize you're a sinner. Recognize I'm a sinner. And I am. I am a sinner. I'm in need of the Son of God's mercy on my life each and every day. When I was living in Tasmania, 21 years old, having a great time living by faith and seeing amazing things happen. One of the guys who wasn't a pastor in my church, he looked like an old guy, but now as I'm an old guy, I think he was about 40. He had hair and a beard, and you know, he was just this guru type bloke, and we could drop in, a bunch of the young adults, we could drop in on his place, and he would give us cold drinks, and we'd sit around and talk about God and the Bible. And he was just always up for that. And he was just an amazing bloke. We had night services every Sunday night with all the young people would turn up, young people from everywhere. And a couple of times he would come. And we'd go, oh, cool, he's here. Is he going to preach? This one night he didn't preach, but the senior pastor of the church preached. And he preached the gospel message. And at the end of it, he gave an altar call and said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to live for Jesus every day, then come on down the front. There was nothing. And then this guy that we all looked up to got up and walked down the front and dropped to his knees. We were looking at him going, we thought he was saved. He's just gone forward at an altar call. What's going on? And then the senior pastor must have been thinking the same thing, because he said, buddy, pretty sure you know Jesus. And he says, yes, I do know Jesus. But you asked me if I wanted to live for Jesus every day, and I do. And I wanted to respond to that prayer. I wanted to declare to the world, yet again, I want to live for Jesus every day. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit working through me every day. I want to know what prayer really is. And I want to see his work in and through my life. Guess what? Senior pastor walked down off the stage and knelt next to him and said, well, in that case, I want that too. That night was a hoot. We all went down the front. We all, in Baptist terms, I guess, recommitted our lives to saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Well, I want to give you that opportunity today. You may be following Jesus 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 102 years. I don't know how old you are. Maybe not 102. But today is a day, an opportunity for refreshing. Today is a day of acknowledging that mercy to, again, claim that inheritance is for you. The joy of the Lord be your strength. The salvation strength in and through your life. You may be growing tired. This stage of COVID time may have just messed with you, and you go, you know what? I do. I want to give my life back into Jesus' hands. Well, maybe you're sitting there going, well, Donnie, I've actually never done that. I just like hanging out with you guys because you're good guys and girls and you're nice. And you give me coffee and a bickie at the end. And we get to sit in air conditioning on hot summer days. Well, wherever you're at, if you've never made your peace with God, but if you have, then can I challenge you right now to join me in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. In fact, I want to praise your name that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ. With your great mercy, you have brought us into this new birth, the one that you talked to with Nicodemus. The new birth that gives us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you give us this inheritance that will never perish, soil, or fade. Oh, Lord Jesus, in this we want to greatly rejoice. We want to greatly rejoice that in the God's power through the Holy Spirit working in us, that we can live for you each and every day. So, Father, today we commit, we recommit, we say, I love you. Thank you for your mercy on my life. Thank you for dealing with my sin right here and right now. May you fill me anew with your precious Spirit. Where it is dry, may there be a flood. where there is those chains or sickness and disease or blinded eyes, may there be healing and release and opening, that we might follow you, Lord Jesus, with all that we are and all that we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, Peter knows what it's like to go through a tough time. If you look into his life, he cops some serious flack. I mean, some of you might have had a run-in with me. You might have caught me on one of my grumpy days, and we might have crossed swords. But you know what? No one's reading about that, unless you tweeted it, and I hope you didn't. But see, Peter and Paul had a clash, and they wrote it, and Paul wrote about it in the Bible, and we can read about it now. Well, we won't, but we could. It's in the eternal scriptures. They had an incident, and Peter was doing something wrong. He was being a bit of a hypocrite, and Paul called him out in scripture forever and ever. And I think that's why Peter said, and Paul, who writes in such big, funny words, so he's just getting a little bit back at him. But isn't that real? The scriptures give us real relationships, and not all relationships are honky-dory all the time. Some relationships are push-me-pull-me. Some are stormy. I'm guessing Peter and Paul were a bit stormy. But he knows about grief. He knows about hard times. And he says to us, hang in there. Jesus knew about suffering, and he went to the cross. Paul knew about suffering. And you can read about all that Paul went through. Today, around the world, people are going through suffering. And you may know it as well, but I wanted you to hang in there. While I was on holidays, Surf Life Saving Queensland were very generous in giving me a psychological first aid course to do. So I had 10 weeks crushed into about a month, honey. I had to get it done before September. And it was good. There's a lot of the stuff in the psychological first aid I already knew because of training and counselling and peer support and chaplaincy and all that sort of stuff. But there was one chapter that I just went, oh, that is gold. That is absolutely gold. Here it is. How many of you have heard of PTS or PTSD? Yep, it's big these days. It's all of a sudden come out of everywhere. Didn't exist in World War I. We didn't call it PTS. I know it existed. We called it shell shock or, Pamela, one of the things I read, cowardice. We called it cowardice. Yep. So PTSD is out there. It's about. We know it. We understand it. You probably know it a lot more than most people. But do you know the other side of it? What's the other side of PTS? Aha, you don't know either. You ready to learn something today? PTG. And I can guarantee the most of you have had PTG and you're not aware of it. It's post-traumatic growth. You've gone through a trauma and you actually grew through it. You actually became stronger because of the trauma. And when that trauma came a second time, guess what? You dealt with it so much better than you did the first time. You know why? Because you grew through it. Why today do we just say PTS instead of look for the growth in the trauma that's coming your way? Oh, I got excited about that. I felt there was hope in trauma. And when I go and sit with people who go through trauma, I'm now wanting to bring hope to them, not just disaster or stress, but growth, that we may come to this. And this passage here talks about this growth. He talks about the faith that we have, that this faith may be perfected, refined by fire. Now, every time I read this passage, I remember Avril showing us, you know, the silver and gold being refined on the big screen when we sang that song. Remember that? It was just amazing. And the refiners would see their face in the molten perfection of gold and silver. And it goes through fire. I mean, how many of us go, yeah, put me through the fire. I want stronger faith. No, get away. Come on. We go, give me stronger faith, but zero cost. Here we go. Here's another little word that I found. I'm just going to find my notes. Here it is. In the testing, it's like a crucible. And that crucible word and testing, when we talk about testing in the Bible, it often comes across as testing, but it actually means to be found. You see, as a young boy playing cricket, 13 years old, Colin Platts was a fast bowler. And he pitched a ball up and it bounced and it was around my head and I thought I could hit that for six. And I swung and I got a little bit of it, which only increased the speed of the ball, and it went smack into my nose. I broke my nose. I was tested and I failed. It was not found in my ability to hook a bouncer at that stage in my life. But later on, as I was tested again and again, especially when Colin Platts, whenever he played me, I was a bit of a bunny to the short ball against him, because in my head, I could imagine him pitching it up and hitting me in the head again. But I got tested, and later on, I found it. When we go through exams in English and maths, the teachers are testing you to see if you have found the knowledge that they were trying to teach. If you have found the answer to the questions. They're not testing you so they can sit there and go, fail, fail, fail. Or maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe some teachers. Neil, do you know teachers like that? No. They all want you to pass, but it's being found. And when our faith is tested, God wants us to find faith in us. He wants us to find the challenge to rise up and go, you know what? I will stand. I will believe in Jesus. In this trial, in this time, I will hold on. In verse 8, it says, you love Jesus even though you have not seen him. You believe in him and yet you do not know him. It's an expressible and glorious joy that comes in and through this salvation. To receive his grace through salvation is important. Receiving it. You see, the salvation that we have is special, unique. We are not to take it for granted. I am not to take it for granted. And I confess before you that I have. I've just taken it for granted. The preciousness of it, the greatness of it, the mercy of it, the impassioned love of God in my life, I've just gone, yeah, whatever. We should never do that, folks. We should be fully aware of what we have and how precious it is. And we should not sell it down the road for a bit of pleasure right here and now. Because we have an internal inheritance. And I don't want any of you, your family and your friends, to give up what you have for something that is fashionable but sinful now. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to treasure it. I want it to be tested in your life. Sorry about that, but I do. I want you to faith to grow and grow and grow so you can grow stronger and stronger and be more of a shining light. If you think you're a shining light with your little torch with two AAs in it, nah. I want you to have seven great big spotties hanging off your body like you're a four-wheel drive going through the bush that everyone from here to Coolum can see you coming. The light of Christ working in your life, powerful, almighty, just by your very presence, not even a thing you've said or done, but your very presence shining the light of Christ in and through our community. What we have is so precious that prophets and angels wanted to see what we have. They wanted to know about the grace that's poured on our life, but they stepped back from it. Moses was told all about the promised land, but because of errors in his life, never got to enter into it. He saw it from a distance. The prophets saw all about Jesus from a distance. They prophesied it. They gave great words for us, great gems. And we have it all. This glorious inheritance that the angels went, whoa, wish I was a man or a woman that I get to participate in this glorious salvation, to know the hope of glory, Jesus living in and through me. They looked on. The prophets, oh, don't let go what you have. Rejoice in it. Praise be to God the Father. May that be our prayer. We walk out of here knowing, yes, I'm saved. I'm in Jesus Christ. But a lot of my family aren't. A lot of my community aren't. A lot of people I work with aren't. So I want to see them. come to know the truth that I know, the blessings that I know in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this precious gift of salvation that each and every one of us can have. I ask, Lord God, that the power of your Holy Spirit would just open us up, Lord God, to receive what we already have, that joy in the Lord, that joy of our salvation, that strength in our bodies to help us and able to go forth and to do and to be the people you've called us to be. Father, I'm glad that I belong to you and I can call you Father. And Lord Jesus, I'm glad I belong to you and I can call you Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, I'm glad I belong to you and you want to work in my life. And I want to say again right now, as I said earlier today, come, have your way with me. Work in me. Wherever you want me to be, I'll go. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.